Okay. Well, welcome back. We're now going to move on and look a little bit more at the sort of things that you can do well with Expression Blend. We've been concentrating pretty much on Visual Studio up till now, apart from a brief foray into application bar design in the last one. And also, just like I say, we want to thank you all for all your questions. We'll do our best to answer as many as possible.
Here's a quick one.
Yeah.
Do you have to include the surrounding circle when you make an app bar icon?
Okay, that's a good question. The answer is no, you do not. It will be supplied for you by the system. So there you go.
That's okay. And okay, we'll pick it up as we go along, but we'll make sure that no one goes away unhappy. All your questions will be answered.
Yeah, I didn't cover much on gestures, and we've had some good questions, a bit more about how you pass objects in data binding. So what we'll do is I'll run with this Expression Blend, which might be a bit shorter. Maybe you might have a few minutes at the end. We can kind of switch context.
Yeah.
And go and tackle that one. There's quite a good example I can give you for that. So, but let's focus on expression now, and yeah, just keep your questions coming.
Great stuff.
What we're going to look at here is basically more about animations and the ability of Expression Blend to aid the designer by auto-generating design time data, which is a really nice feature. I'm not a designer. I think it's fair to say. Everybody will think, people who know me were looking at me going, "Why on earth is he?" But it's actually Expression Blend is a great tool for developers as well, and there are certain things that you want to do in as a developer. You know, when you're starting to get above yourself and think, actually, "Oh, hey, I can do this design thing and animation stuff," you know. But there are certain simple stuff that you can do yourself. To master Expression Blend, you know, it's a tool for designers, and it's a very powerful tool, has a lot of subtleties. So, and designers, as we all know, their brains work differently to developers. So, it's a tool set that's aimed at them. But like I said, there's some good stuff that you can do as a developer as well, can add real loads of life and interest to your applications and get away from the boring, monochrome, dull application. So we're going to look at animations, look at design time data, and a little bit about custom control templates. So it is the designer's tool, and of course the Metro principles that it's clean and light and open, and Rob was talking about this before, emotion through motion, all these nice touch phrases, and great typography. These are the building block, the cornerstones of what Windows Phone is all about in terms of the user experience. And of course, you, as an application developer and designer, you have to buy into this. The tools are there to help you achieve this, and I'm going to show you a little bit of some of the stuff you can do with them now. So you can build amazing experiences relatively easy. It does have a learning curve, especially for developers. And I have to say, I use it quite a lot now, and like I said, I'm primarily a developer. I use it quite a lot for tasks that are just easier to do in Blend. But it's the first, I must admit, it took me a little while to figure out how to drive it. For somebody who's used to Visual Studio, it's kind of a little bit baffling at first. But stick with it, and hopefully these demos I'm going to show you in this session will encourage you to get excited about what it can do. And I've already shown an earlier demo how you switch easily between Visual Studio and Expression Blend. The tools work very well side by side. You're working on exactly the same project files, and it's easy to switch between them and use the right tool for the job, really, depending on what you're doing. And this is one of those, okay, well, how do you approach the visual design of your application? So which do you start with Visual Studio and create the data model and then hand it over to your developer and say, "Oh, here, this page has to do that, and I need to have a list here. Just make it look good." And of course, you can do that. Or Expression Blend, the designer, can actually mock up the UI and can generate some design time data and can build in a lot of behaviors as well. So you get all the animations and you get the page transitions. That can all be done purely in Expression Blend. So you could have the designer takes first bite at it and comes up with something that looks great and behaves well, but actually, of course, there's no logic behind it, and then they hand it over to the developer. And both approaches are good. You know, there's no right way to do this. The tools allow you to do either of those. So whatever works for you is the answer to that one. So it's It's got some strong features, which is the reason why I was saying why I use it as well on a fairly routine basis. It is the easiest way of applying Windows Phone styles. It's a great way for creating animations. Really, it's the only way of creating animations. Visual Studio sucks at this.
Fantastic question.
Yeah.
Someone's just asked, can you have Blend in a separate window on a monitor and Studio open at the same time and just bounce between them?
If you've got a dual monitor system, yes, of course you could. Yeah, absolutely. The only thing to do is to remember, if you're working in one environment, until you save the files, the other one won't pick up. So you'll see these pop-ups.
You do the thing saying one has changed and we can reload it. So you'll have to do that. But absolutely you can
do that. So you just get in the habit of working in Blend and then do a build, and then Visual Studio will pop up and say, oh, somebody's changed these files in the background.
And you just say yes. You just say reload every time and bang, back it comes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff. Good question, John.
So animations. Let's look a little bit about animations. This is how you... Animations... in Silverlight are very powerful and it's a very great tool for really adding interest to your application. I showed you very quickly and briefly the page turn animations that you get almost for free from just using the stuff that's in the Silverlight toolkit. So that's at a basic level, that's the kind of animation your app simply have to include just to fit in with the Windows Phone sort of feeling. So your users will use your app and will accept it as part of the Windows Phone experience. You don't want your app to be the one that stands out because its UI and sucks, you know?
This is true.
Yeah.
Not Mr. Ugly.
No, indeed. So it's a great tool for creating animations. What happens when you create an animation, you basically are changing the value of a property over a time span. So we drag out, and I'll show you this in a minute, over a period of time, a position, for example, moves from 15 pixels from the left over to 180 pixels on the left, and it will be over that time span, that's what will happen. And it allows you to create and test these animations graphically. It does that by default linearly. So if you do have an element that moves across the screen, it will start at the start of the storyboard, the animation, and it will move linearly across to the other side. But if you really want to make really nice animations that feel very natural, you apply these things called easing functions, which apply a sort of a logarithmic adjustment or some kind of a pattern to the speed that the animation is, the change in property is applied. So you can do things like, if something's moving across the screen, it will start slowly, then speed up, and then come to a slow down. So that's a very natural thing for it to do. So that's very, very easy to apply, and I'll show you how to do that in a minute. In fact, I'll show you how to do it now. So I'll switch over to my desktop. Any more questions, Rob?
Oh, there's some nice questions. Does Expression Blend support IntelliSense? I think the answer really is it doesn't. That's not the context where you'd be typing stuff in. Expression Blend to me suggests you're using a graphical editor.
Yeah, you can edit the code in Expression Blend. You can get to the code window and you can edit the code, but you don't get the full support that you get in Visual Studio. This is one of those things that really. Code cutting is Visual Studio is the tool for that, and Blend you can do quick things, but it's not really what it's targeted at. I believe you can. I don't think it's enabled. IntelliSense enabled out of the box. I may be wrong on that point, and I'm sure there's ways of enabling it, but it's not kind of a built-in behavior because that's not really what it's about.
Another one from David. He's saying the application bar has some icons that are white on black. How can we actually use those for other? You know, can we use it for other colours? And I think the answer to that question is that it happens automatically. The icons that you pick up in Expression Blend will then have their colours transformed according to the colour scheme so that it looks correct.
They are theme aware, yes.
Yes, that's a good phrase. Yeah.
They are theme aware, so and the shell handles that for you. If you want to make it red, you can actually, but if you have a white foreground on a transparent background, the phone OS, the system, will paint it the appropriate colour depending on what the theme, whether you've got the light or the dark background.
Unless you've got a strong graphic mandate to do that kind of thing, I'm inclined to let well alone, but that's just me being boring. I know my limitations.
Okay, so just to show you some of the power of the animations control system, I've got a little app here. Oh, there's the code window, in fact. I don't want to be in there. What I want is the design window. So I'm going to just select phone application page element and I'm going to say fit selection, so it shrinks it down. So there's our design surface. There's nothing much there at the minute, but now this is the scenario here. It's just an example of the kind of thing you might have in a sort of a card game. So we're going to have a card that you can tap on it and it will flip over in 3D.
Okay.
So that'll be easy, won't it?
I can't see a problem with that, he said.
No. So in this in the project, so this project tab here, we can navigate down and there's a card back.png. And I'm just going to drag that down onto the page. I'm just going to set the margin to 50 on all sides, just so that it is centred on here. And there's our card back. So there we go. Now then, I'm going to now create an animation for this to flip it over in 3D. So I could make an animation to move it up to the left or across to the right, but that would be boring. I want to do a 3D one. So I'm going to go to here. On the objects and storyline, there's no storyboard open at the moment, but there's a button here to create a new storyboard. So a storyboard is the context within which an animation runs. So I create my storyboard. I'm going to give it a name. I'm going to call it the Rotate Card Storyboard. Okay. And you'll see when I OK it, what we get now is the kind of timeline here, the player window, so we can actually start changing things over time.
OK, and a quick question from Matthew. Can we make the animation respond to the acceleration? So if I tip the phone, the animation moves at different speeds. Is there a way you could do that?
There is a way you can do that, absolutely. Any animation has a series of properties on it, so you could change the rate of something happening.
So it's a software...
That's fairly advanced stuff, I have to say, but yes, you could do that.
Okay.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Right, so at the moment our timeline is at zero, so what I want to do is flip it over, so in 1 second, so... I'm going to drag it out to 1 second, and of course nothing has changed at the moment because I haven't changed any properties. I've got image one here is selected. Now if we look down here in transform at the bottom right, you'll see we've got loads of transform stuff. This is the way you can twist something, you can squeeze it, you can stretch it, and we can also rotate it. So here, for example, we've already got in the bottom of this transform, I've got the tab here which is the rotation thing, which is the amount in degrees that the object can be rotated in three axes. So we're not talking about 2D here, X and Y. You can also rotate it around...
So I could make it come out of the page and then go back down again,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, in fact, there's this little tool here, which is quite hard to use, but if I start moving it around, you can see it starting to move in 3D. And I'm actually dragging it out, and the coordinates are changing as I'm doing that. That tool is really just useful for getting a general idea. So actually I can see the kind of thing I want to do. What I actually want to do is not change it in the x-axis. I don't want to change it in the z-axis, but what I want to do is rotate it around the y-axis. So I'm going to set that to minus 90. So 90 degrees is going to twist around 90 degrees. And as soon as I lose focus on that, our card will disappear. Because it's actually
on its edge.
And now if I drag the timeline, you can see that from zero, which is our starting point, to one, it's rotating in a y-axis like that.
And that's going to use the graphics harbour in the phone to draw the render.
It does indeed. Yeah, rotation transforms are all done by the GPU, so it's quite cheap, if you like, from a performance point of view.
And very smooth.
And you see at the moment it's linear. Now, actually what I'm going to do in a minute, I'm going to actually have a card that flips over. So I'm going to have two images.
Okay.
So the other side of the card is another image, which it wants to start end on. And when this goes end on, the other one then is going to start turning in. So you'll end up with the effect of a card flipping over. But before I do that, it's linear at the moment. So I want that flip to start slowly, speed up, and then the second animation will speed up and then slow down. So I select this, the keyframe marker here. And here the easing function at the moment is none. So I can apply an easing function to that. So I'm going to have an exponential in, which means it starts slowly and speeds up. So that's been applied to that now. Now when I hit this, it'll start slowly and then speed up. And you see that again, start slowly and speed up. I don't know if you've seen that in live meeting, of course.
But it does actually work. Question from Greg. Yeah. Is the y-axis always up on the phone? I think it's up in respect of whether it's landscape or portrait, up is always up. Is that a fair comment?
I don't know. Try it and see.
Okay. we think the answer is yes-ish. Right. Okay.
Okay, so that's the basic, the first part of this. So I'm going to now close my storyboard again, because what I want to do is add my second card, which is the card front. And this will warm your heart, Rob.
Oh.
This is part of a nascent game that I haven't even done anything on, but this is the Golden Cheese game. So if you flip the card over...
we have to mention cheese. It's in the rules. Yeah. I don't make the rules. Oh, wait, hang on.
You do.
I do. Yes, cheese has to be there. Oh, yeah. That's very nice.
So I'm going
to
place this exactly on top.
So we're going to have the front of the card will be the Golden Cheese, and the back of the card will be the back design.
Oh, that's not worked.
Although a bit scrunched.
Set that to auto. There we go. So it's directly placed on top of the other one. But actually, its starting position for this one, so our time zero state of this thing, is going to be end on the y-axis. So I'm going to put a projection, rotate transform of plus 90 on that. And it's disappeared. It hasn't disappeared. It's there, but it's end on, if you like. So let's go back to our storyboard, open it out again. So we click this, and there's our rotate card storyboard. And the image one, the new one, is selected at the moment. And I want to add a keyframe. I want to make sure from 0 to 1 it stays end on. So we're at 0. I'm going to add a new keyframe there, which just kind of takes a snapshot in time. So it's going to be its properties with the projection of 90 degrees is kind of fixed at that point. I'm going to drag it out to 1.
This is a bit like being an animator, isn't it? You're actually sort of designing almost like cartoons, but not quite.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm going to add another keyframe, which, again, just makes sure that between 0 and 1, actually it doesn't change. It's still end on. That's why I've got that in. We've still got our projection of y90 here.
Is it?
But then, drag it out to 2. So I'll just finish this, and then we can...
Apologize, yeah.
And here, at this point, we want to set that back to 0. So now that one is visible. And again, I want to put an easing function on that one to make sure... But this time the other way around. It starts fast... and finishes slowly. So there we go, exponential. Was it exponential? Yeah, exponential out. So that one's going to do it. Now if I play the whole animation, we start slowly, speed up, and there. How about that?
Again, if you don't see it going quite as smoothly on the live meeting, take it from me, a man who knows, it does actually look very smooth.
And you can download this project. Later on, we'll get these on by this afternoon, and you can download and play this yourself.
So. We have a question. Can you crop images in Blend? I think the answer is yes. Absolutely yes, you can.
Yes.
Crop them, scale them, do what you like.
It's all the tools that a designer would expect to find, I think. So, how are we doing then? So, and then the other thing I want to do then, of course, is... let's close this again. So there's our back, our starting state. I want to put a tap event on this so that it will turn over. So let's just select. We've got image selected. I'm going to go to the properties window in here. And I'll double click on tap. So this is one of the new gestures that's in Silverlight 4, which Mango is built on. So Windows Phone 7.0 was Silverlight 3 and a bit or something.
Three-ish.
And but in Mango, we're up to Silverlight 4. So one of the things is we've got a few additional... properties on framework element or UI element. I forget
what we're building here is a card that you can tap on and it'll spin round to reveal what's on the other side.
And you'll see that it's actually switching us automatically to Visual Studio for that because it thought, well, you can't possibly want to write code in Expression Blend. It's really not what it's about.
No.
So it opens up Visual Studio and it will position us in a minute at the appropriate point.
And so we will fire the animation off.
And all we do is start our storyboard. This dot rotate card storyboard. Dot begin on that tap event. So we can run it from in Visual Studio or we could run it in Blend. I'm going to run it in Visual Studio.
We have a question. Do we have an official Twitter hashtag for this? We never thought of that. Well, with us being very old.
It's time we sorted that out. Yes.
Hash MangoJS, I think.
Yeah.
MangoJS. So if you want to tweet, then do that on that one.
So here's the... almost finished article. We tap on that, and there we go, and it goes round. Of course, it doesn't actually go back at that. We want to go back, so I've actually got a finished version which does the reverse as well. We've just added another storyboard that reverses it. So I'm just going to open Project Solution and go and get the end version of this. Not that one. Expression Blend, Animations, End. So you can see the finished article, which simply adds the reverse of that as well. So there's our first one, and we can hit it again, and it goes around again. So that could be useful, but you can see that's a nice little animation effect that was really quite easy to create.
I've got a question about from John saying, do you have to make the background image invisible when you're... if I understand your question right, John, what we've done is we've not actually made the card disappear. We've left it end on so you can't see it.
It is twisted around, yes. It's a sort of 3D effect because we've twisted it in the Y-axis.
It's infinitely thin, which means that you'll never see it if it's at 90 degrees. And so we never actually turned it off. We just made it stay so that one comes up, hits it, and the other one goes down. That's the process we're using.
Yeah. It's
do it how you like.
Smoke and mirrors, of course. But that's what animation is about. It's what the user ends up seeing. So,
yes, if it looks real, might as well be. That's what we're going for here.
And next time, this thing I use this for a lot is when the designer is doing layout, and we're talking about not fancy stuff particularly like animations, but we're talking about things like the template for a list box. So. This is also something that beginners will always do, is they'll drag a list box out of the toolbox and slap it on the page, and then they kind of vaguely remember that wiggly guy saying, oh, you just have to set item source to some collection.
Stop putting stuff in.
Yeah, item source to some collection, and then it will automatically display a list. Well, that unfortunately doesn't happen, because a list box, it has no intelligence about the data. So the designer has to come in and decide how the data in the list actually gets presented. And again, Blender is really, really good for that kind of thing.
So this is where we're making a thing we can talk about. We're designing a thing with data that looks right that we can then discuss
before we've actually
built the back end.
Yeah, it's classic. It's, as it says there, it's essential, really. The designer needs to be able to see, visualize what the data is going to look like if you're going to do true what you see is what you get design.
Lovely question from Xander as well. If you want to randomly show a different card, you don't have to make a new storyboard, just change the visible card property for that item.
You can simply change the image.
Yep.
It's just a framework element in that example. So we had two images on there, two image elements, image and image one. I should have given them a better name.
Yep.
But yeah, you can just simply change the...
Assign a different card and then swing it over with that new card pattern,
yep,
and that will work a treat.
Yep.
So you just have one central animation and put the thing on it that you like.
It's going to be lots of games turning up on the
Pelmanism, that's a good one to go for with this. It's a good Pelmanism.
So, Blend allows you to create sample data very easily from an existing class. So this is what I do, is the easiest way, and this comes back to that chicken and egg slide, is if you start by designing the Visual Studio, the developer, you design your view model classes, you know what you're... I mean, after all, you know what the data is. Maybe you're getting it from a web service or maybe you've created a class that's local to your application, but you know what your data is. It's the presentation side of it that needs sorting out. So you hand your project off to your designer, or you take off your developer hat and put your designer hat on, and then you can easily create sample data, design time data, based on that class definition, which you can then use in the design process. So this is pretty cool. And you can edit the format and the values of all of the fields. It's very, very flexible. I'll show you that in a minute. And the kind of text that it's putting in, the length of it, and how many words are being put on different fields. It's all very, very flexible, and the tools make that easy. And it actually sticks the design time data into an XML file. So you can go in and manually edit that as well if the auto-generated stuff isn't exactly what you need.
Make it look even more realistic.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. But generally, actually, the stuff it comes up with is fine for most people's purposes. And let's see how that works.
We have a question. If you've got multiple storyboards on a single page, you just attach them to different objects. Is that correct? And then they'll just run in parallel?
Well, a storyboard can involve multiple objects. In fact, that storyboard we just created, it was affecting two different objects, image and image one, and you can have multiple storyboards.
But if you had a card spinning and a high score thing going bing when they've hit the high score, those could just be running as two totally separate storyboards.
Absolutely.
In parallel.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I got a question a little while back, a very good one, about the numbers down the side of the emulator. This is the point at which they start to become interesting, because they're telling you how fast the pages are being redrawn by your app. So if you have very, very complicated displays with loads of moving objects, you might see the frame counter value start to drop. And that's a message to kind of back off a little bit in terms of your ambitions from a graphical point of view. You can turn them off when you build the production version. There's a thing in app.xaml.cs that you can use to turn off the animation, which shows you the speed at which the display is running. But those little magic flickering numbers at the right-hand side, that's what they're there for. That's what they mean.
Yep, indeed. Counters for debug and performance monitoring. Okay, so let's look at this design time data thing. So here we've got an app that has got in it, I've defined my view models. You can see the object tree up here. I've got a main view model and an item view model with some data classes already defined in it. But at the moment, the content panel, as you see here in the objects and timeline window, is empty. There's no list box in there. So I'm going to use the tools up here. I'm going to generate some design time data for this particular scenario. So this here is create sample data, this little icon on the top right. So I click it, and then you've got three options. You can just manually create some, import from an XML file, or this is the one I tend to use, create sample data from a class that's already in your project. And I'm going to create sample data from them for the main view model, which is my main view model class with all the data in it. Click OK. And actually, nothing much seems to have happened, but it has, because here it's now expanded this out, and it's looked at my data, and it has generated design time data for that particular class. So now I'm going to grab my three fields here, which are the three fields in an item, which is the collection. So this first page is going to be a list box. The designer wants the instructions to the designer is, I want to see a list box there. Can you just make it look good? So we have created design time data. I'm now going to drag these three fields and drop them onto the design surface. And that says very small, I don't think you see that, it all says create a list box and bind its item source property to item. So it's going to do all the data binding stuff for me automatically. Drop it on there. There we go. It's going to right click and say auto size to fill, so it fills the space. Now what we're seeing here is the auto-generated design time data. It looks like a great long splurge of just text, but actually what it is we've got there are three loads of items here, line 1, line 3, line 2, line 1, line 3, line 2. So these are the individual items. So the designer now has got something to visualize, and the first thing you can say is, well, that doesn't look very good. So we can actually go in here now and use the ability of Blend to edit templates. So this is where we go in and can use this to design the data template that's being used for this particular list box. So the one we want there, you go edit additional templates, edit generated items, the item template, and we'll edit the current one, because there is one here. It's just been generated for us by us dragging that onto the design surface.
So this is how the things are going to be displayed on the screen.
Yeah.
At the moment, we can't tell any of the lines apart, and we're going to fix that. Is that
correct? Going to fix that now, yes.
Okay.
So here we now, we see on the left here, we've got our item template. And you can see that every single item in the list box, is represented by a stack panel, and inside that, it contains three text blocks. So here's our first text block. You can see it's the top one here. So I'm going to just right-click on that guy, and I'm going to apply a style to it. Edit style, apply resource. And this is something else that Blend's really good at that Visual Studio is not good at. You get a nice visual display of this. So I'm going to use phone text large style for that one.
So the heading is big.
Yeah, uh-huh. And then I'm going to change this one to use another built-in style. By the way, always use these styles, because they are theme-aware. And I'll show you what that means in a minute. So this one I'm going to put to edit style, apply resource, use the subtle style for that one. And then I'm going to just select the stack panel in here, and I want to put a bit of spacing in between each item. So I'm going to the properties window. We've got our stack panel selected. Go to the list of properties, and I'm just going to put a bottom margin of that of 12 pixels, just to put a bit of spacing. There we go. Now we're starting to see something that looks lot better.
I don't think these are pixels, it's just 12, isn't it?
Oh, it's 12 units, yeah.
I think Silverlight lets you use floating point to precision things, so please don't think pixels, because it's just
a
distance.
That correction. Yeah, 12 units, yeah.
12 things. Do it till it looks right, basically.
Yeah. So there we've got, now we've got a nice layout. Saying about using the styles on here, a lot of beginners will make the mistake of actually setting the foreground colour to white, because you think that's what you want. But another thing you can do in Blend, if you go to Device, you can actually change the theme. and see what it looks like in light.
If you make the foreground colour white, it'll vanish.
And then if you have set it white, it will, your text will suddenly disappear. And this is one of the classical reasons for failing marketplace submission. So be aware, you must test with both the light and the dark background.
One of the first things they do if you send them an application is they flip the phone colour scheme and then see if you can read everything. And if the answer comes back, no, stuff vanishes, either goes completely black or totally white, then your app will be rejected because it's unusable in certain situations.
So there's our first pass of our list box, and that's how it looks like, and that looks pretty good. So we can just click on that to close the design thing again, and there we go. We've got a nicely formatted list box. We've been then pass it back to the project team. So here you are, what do you think of that?
At the moment, the list box doesn't fit in the container, but what you could is put it in a scroll viewer, and at that point, the user will be able to scroll up and down with their finger.
That's supposed to be...
Is that already there?
It's supposed to be...
It's
supposed to be... I must have lost that. So there,
If you're wondering how you actually manage the fact that you need scroll bars for things that are too big, scroll viewer is your friend. Take a look at how that works. It's very, very easy to use. It wraps around whatever you're drawing.
The list box, if you look at the template for a list box, which we haven't looked at, all we've been doing is at the data template for a list item. The actual template for a list box, is a very complicated control. It has a built-in scroll viewer already.
Just turn that on. Okay, better yet.
Now, I'm going to just show you the other thing you can do with Design Time Data, which is to add a page to it, which is going to be our details page. So this is going to be, the classical master detail thing. So when you click on an item in the list, we're going to go to this page. So I'm just going to resize that. And again, we can use our data thing here. Expose, here's our data source. And we want, this one is going to be data bound to a single item, because you click on an item in the list.
We've picked the one from the list. Now I want to see everything about it. Yeah. So you've got a bunch of movie titles. You click on the movie title and we go out into your next page to say when the showings are, who the stars are, that kind of stuff. Okay.
So this time, select the same number, the same items, or you might select a subset. You don't have to select all of them, whatever you want to show on the detail page. But then I'm going to click this other button at the top. So at the moment we're in list mode, so it says dragging a collection or collection item to the artboard will create a list control. But if you click the other one, it goes to details mode. So now if we drag a collection item to the artboard, it will create a control to display the item details. So let's do that, drag that onto here. So it creates, now it automatically puts text blocks, labels if you like, for the fields in. So we can now start, laying it out. And put this down here, put that one over there, and obviously we can change the styles of these. It's only got two words in line two, so maybe that's no good. So you can actually click on the right here as well, you can edit the values, so you can say, okay, format is lorem ipsum est, which is one of the classical things. from the publishing industry, it's like very traditional. But equally, if that's actually an address, you could say, let's change it to an address. So you think line three is therefore is changed to address there. Let's just drag that out, make that a bit bigger. So you see immediately we're doing well here in terms of getting, let's change that to 20 maximum word counts. And now, and the maximum word length of 12 instead. So you can change this. You need to set wrapping on that, of course, in order to make sure that the text will wrap. Set wrapping to be on, and now you can see it's wrapping now. So these are the sort of tools that we have in Blend for helping the designers to come up with a good design for this. That's kind of all I want to show on the Design Time Data side. It's powerful stuff. It's really good.
Nice question from Jerome.
Yep.
What happens to the Design Time Data when you actually run the app in the emulator? Is there anything? Can you do anything with it other than just push it onto the controls themselves?
There is an at runtime. It's not used by default. There is an option somewhere which I'd have to look up. You can use it at runtime as well, but why would you? It's Design Time Data. In actual fact, if we look at the XAML, you'll see at the top. You see this D here? This is a namespace declaration for expression blend, and that is design times. It means anything with a D on it, like this data context here, only applies at design time. So this is where it is pointing us. It's setting the data context to our XAML file that contains the auto-generated data. It's only being used at design time.
Yeah, I think the context is that basically this is stuff you use for showing it off. Yeah. It goes nowhere beyond that.
No, that's right. It's a designer tool. Yeah. So that's pretty good. Done that. There is a finished version of this with slightly where the click handler is hooked up and that sort of thing, but it would serve no purpose for me to do that now.
Very quick question from Hugo. How do I open Expression Blend? You just right-click on the item in Studio, and then up it comes, and then pick it.
Two ways. So if you're in Studio and you want to open Blend, you can simply just right-click on a XAML file, and one of the options on the menu is Open in Expression Blend. You could open Expression Blend from the Start menu, just the same way as you do with Visual Studio. Or you can, in Windows Explorer, you could right-click on a solution file, and again, there will be an option there with Open With. You can open that directly with Expression Blend. It's the same project files that you're using in Visual Studio.
And another question, sorry about this, from Laszlo. If you use opacity change and rotation at the same time in the same storyboard, that would be okay. So it would spin and slowly appear. You could make that fly?
Of course.
Yeah.
Use your imagination. The tools are there.
You can't have more than one behavior applied to a particular device. So you can have a complex behavior, but you can't have two storyboards applying to the same thing, or can you?
Oh, no, that wouldn't. No. I can't imagine that.
You have to
put
it all in one storyboard, but if you can hum it, it can play it, if you want to put it that way. And can we change text block width dynamically? The answer to that question is it's a property of the Silverlight object, so yes,
you can animate any property.
You can make it bounce in and out in time with the music if you want to do that.
Whether that would end up in a good user experience is somewhat debatable, but
it's true. Yes, okay.
So the last thing I want to touch on with Blend here is its ability to create custom controls. So it's often said with Silverlight controls that they're actually essentially lookless. What is a Silverlight control? Actually, it's an object that has some properties and events on it. It doesn't actually have a de facto, it must do this. You know, a button could be a completely abstract shape. It doesn't have to be what we would recognise as a button.
It's just
a
placeholder for behaviour, really.
It's exactly. It's something that when user interacts with it, raises a click event. That's a button. So obviously, when you use Visual Studio and Expression Blend to create your apps, there is a default appearance for these controls, and they all, out of the toolbox, this is what they look like. But that's simply they are applying one particular templating of that control to give it that particular appearance. And you can go in and change. You can change all aspects of that. It's entirely under your control. What you can't change, of course, is the properties of it. If it's a button object, it will have these certain characteristics. So you can edit that. I'm going to use a very, very simple example here, just to show you, get you started on the sort of thing you can do. So let's see. I'm going to open a project that I've got here. And this is very similar to the flip card one. Now, maybe what we want to do here is, instead of having tap on the card, which actually I quite like as a nice interactive thing, but maybe you don't like that. So actually what we want to do is I'm going to select the content panel here, and I'm going to add a button to it instead. So let's just select button on the left, and you can double-click to insert default size into whatever select is. So now our button has gone into our content panel. It's at the top. I'm now going to select the selection item and drag it down to the bottom. But this is kind of a boring metro button. We don't want a boring metro button.
Heavens, no.
No, we want an exciting button. So we can right-click on it, edit template, and we can edit a copy. And this is an interesting way of figuring out how a control is built up. So we can edit a copy. We can call it Funky Button Style.
Funky is a very old word these days,
I think. I am very old.
Fair enough, that's okay. I'm just checking.
And this, you know, we've suddenly revealed what a button is, which is kind of exciting. This is a button. The template for a button is a grid. And inside that, it's got a button background, which is a border object.
Someone was asking about whether you could put pictures on buttons. And the
Absolutely.
Answer, I think, is about to come back with a whack. Because
there you go. Object, at the bottom level in a button, is something called a contents container. So somebody actually also posted a question earlier saying, why is the text on a button, not a text property. Well, there is no text property on a button. It doesn't have it. Because a button, you can put anything in it. It's a content container. You can put any other control in it. You could put a picture in it. You can put text in it. You could put a list box in it. You can put a calendar control in it. You can put anything inside a button. Because the content container is a control that has the capacity for hosting other controls. So.
Okay.
So anyway, we're going to change this button background here. I'm going to actually go in and let's say I don't want this square one. Let's put a nice, let's make it round. There. So we've got nice curly edges on it.
Okay.
That's one thing we could do. Let's say we want to change the background of it. Well, this is an interesting thing. You see this yellow thing on here, the background. You could change that to a local resource. Because at the moment, that yellow signifies something. It means that, actually, if we go down here, it's revealed that if you go down to template binding, you see there's a tick against background. And what that is, this is also part of the anatomy of Silverlight controls, in that the background of a button, okay, it's applied to this border control. This is part of the template that is what a button is, what it looks like. But actual fact, the color that's applied to that background is... using template bounding is bound to the parent control, the button. So it means that to change the background, you don't have to actually manipulate the template in this case. You can simply just set the color of the background. So I can come out of template editing and just use the default behaviors of a button to change the background.
Yeah.
So here's our background. Oh, no, we selected the button now rather than deepen its guts in its template. Let's put a nice gradient fill on it so we can set... it's a red, and then we can put it to, I don't know, a lovely yellow. And there we go, a nice gradient fill on it. So, and we can change the foreground.
This will be great for games, because games, if you're writing an XNA game, you don't have to have the Silverlight conventions. Your buttons can be how they look best in the game. So if you want to have funky buttons that look like they aren't Silverlight ones, this is a good place to go for your game menus.
Yep. Now, there's one other thing before I leave this topic, is that when we press this button, which doesn't actually do anything at the moment, you can see it goes white. And this is also another aspect of the templating of controls, in that there's not only the normal state, but actually a control has different templates that are applied according to its state.
Okay,
so
we could
here
make
we've
the button
got a, this is the pressed version of it.
Yeah.
So you can go in and edit all that sort of stuff as well. So there's loads and loads of flexibility on what you want to do with that.
So the gradient could reverse when it's being pressed and then revert back again when it's been released.
Indeed. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you could change shape. Or it could bounce around. Whatever you wish.
Okay. Cute.
So I think we're just about done there.
Is it review? And
review. It is. So as we've seen, Expression Blend is a tool set that's focused more on the graphical elements of your application. And Visual Studio and Blend both work off the exact same project files. So it's really a good tool set for cooperation between developers and designers. So what it's really good at is making animations, doing design time data, which helps with the design process, and also for customizing control templates, and much, much more. But those are the features that I personally find helpful in my job. So a lot of great stuff in there, and it's definitely worth the while taking the time to get to know how to use it. So
okay.
Thank you very much for listening. I hope that was interesting. If we're going off for a break for an hour, and then we got loads of great Mango stuff.
Yeah, all the Mango special this afternoon. Yeah, and another joke.
So hopefully we'll see you then.
Cheers.